We affirm our faith together here at Daleville Christian Church from the letter to the Romans in the first chapter, the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The word of God this morning from the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, the 4th through the 14th verses. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As we come closer to Christmas, we come to the most familiar passage of Scripture where angels appear. The appearance of the angels to the shepherds and the angels' announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at angels all this season here at Daleville Christian Church. We notice that what we are told about Jesus' birth contains angels, more than one angel in more than one place. So for your benefit, let me review some of what we have learned already about angels this season. The word angel means messenger. Angels are often messengers as a direct link from the mouth of God himself. Angels are spiritual beings. They live in the spiritual world, which we may be shown on occasion, or see in a vision, or be shown something of. They are not of this world. Encountering a holy and spiritual presence is usually unsettling. Despite the fact that angels are mentioned in the Bible almost 300 times, there are very few descriptions of what angels even look like. I've tried to emphasize this season that in these stories that we have heard over and over, we often miss the obvious. God is at work. Our great God works to get his will done through us. The Lord fulfills his promises to us not by doing things for us. The angels make announcements for the purpose of directing people like you and me to do God's will. In announcing God's will and intentions, the angels appear as the angels that we sing about at Christmas time. These angels, Luke tells us about, are herald angels. Now, we are hundreds of years since the last human herald rang a bell in the town square and announced some news to the people. But that is why Charles Wesley called them herald angels in his hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." They were announcers, spokespersons, spokesmodels. Or since they deliver the news, I suggested that they are like UPS persons or FedEx, when news absolutely, positively has to be delivered, angels do that job. But that brings me to a different function of angels, which we have not touched on this season, and I thought that I would share it with you. I've not had a chance to speak about my favorite function of the angels, and this has almost nothing to do with today's message, so I won't take too much time on it, although the image and description of these angels is all through the Bible. And my favorite description of angels is that the angel is the image of the angel as a soldier. Jack Graham states that angels are organized into ranks and offices, a massive army marching at God's command. The King James Version refers to God as a Lord of hosts almost 300 times. A host is a great number, but more than that, a host is an army. A spiritual army. An army of angels. Do you remember Jesus' words in that dramatic moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the soldiers have come to arrest Jesus, and Peter strikes with a sword? Jesus tells him to put the sword away, and then Jesus says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" The word legion is a military term that was taken from the Roman army. A legion denoted a group of around 6,000 Roman soldiers. Jesus uses the word legion, a military term. Jesus could have 72,000 armed angels at his disposal to disperse the soldiers come to arrest him. One other favorite verse along this same line comes from the well-known Battle of Jericho in the Old Testament. Book of Joshua, chapter 5, where Joshua encounters a stranger. And we read in verse 13 of that fifth chapter, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." To me, it's one of the most exciting verses in the Bible. As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Friends, this is no man. This is the commander of the Lord's own army, an army of angels. He has a drawn sword in his hand, drawn sword out of its scabbard, out of its sheath, a sword ready to use. The angel cannot declare that he is for or against Joshua or the enemies of Israel. The angel army answers only to the word of God. They move at the command of the commander-in-chief, God himself. You might wonder, who or whom do the angel armies fight? They fight evil. They fight Satan and Satan's angels. They fight at the word and command of God himself. Friends, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a part of a much larger picture on this earth than you can possibly imagine. There is a war on. What we celebrate at Christmas is that this bigger picture would now include us in Jesus Christ and would include us through Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord, came to win us back from the evil one who held us captive and had his hooks in us. Jesus is rescuing us, delivering us from evil. Our Lord is leading a desperate hostage rescue situation, and we are the hostages. Back to the sermon. Luke 2, verse 9. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Again, we see this evidence that the spiritual world, and in this case also a holy spiritual world, has broken in on the shepherds. They were terrified. The Greek language that Luke wrote says that the shepherds feared with a great fear. They're not just afraid. They're afraid with a great fear. The holiness and glory of the Creator of the universe has just broken into their evening routine. The shepherds are terrified, just as you and I would be terrified if it happened to us. We are not so sophisticated or jaded as to be able to remain calm in the presence of such an unearthly and spiritual power. Descriptions in the Bible of holiness and the glory of the Lord usually include brightness, light, fire. And here we are told that this glory shined. Shining. This is the majority translation, but other translations give it more flavor. There was a brightness. It blazed. The place was filled with light. Now, in the middle of a dark night, this would be startling. It would be amazing. And to seemingly come from nowhere could be quite frightening all on its own. So knowing what we do about spiritual experiences, we know what the angel's first words will have to be. Do not be afraid. The angel needs the shepherds to calm down so they can get the angel's message. The angel doesn't calm them down because the message is calming. The angel needs the shepherds to pull themselves together so they can get the message that the angel has been sent to deliver. And here it is. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. That alone sounds pretty good, but that isn't the whole statement. The angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This isn't just good news for shepherds. It isn't even just good news for Jews. This is a good news for all people. Then the angel describes this good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The Savior has been born to you. Your Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And verse 12 says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. The word translated as host here is literally the Greek word for army. It was that a great army was seen with the angel. Several versions translate it the same way. A multitude of the heavenly army, a vast host of the armies of heaven, a multitude of heavenly soldiers, a large army of angels, a great army of heaven's angels. How many angels? Well, in another use of these very same words, we would be talking about the stars. That is how many angels, as many as there are stars in the sky. Pretty big army of angels, as many as there are stars. And what is this immense angel army doing? This immense angel army is praising God. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The Messiah's presence on earth represents the culmination of what God has been working for since humanity was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. The time had come. Messiah had come. God had fulfilled his promises. How shall earth benefit? Those who are released from Satan's clutches will be at peace with God. There will be no punishment. There will be no penalty for those who receive the Messiah Savior. This is indeed good news for any and all who receive the Messiah that the Lord God is giving. Luke quickly brings his report to an end. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Shepherds know what angels are, messengers from God, and the shepherds respond to that which God has revealed. They're not going to go see what the angels talked about. See, angel words are God's words. The shepherds know the word is from God himself. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has told us about. Now you see, if the shepherds remembered anything of God's promises about salvation or Messiah, it was never clear how the Lord would reveal himself. The Jewish leadership could never agree as to how God would accomplish his promised salvation. Would it be a military leader? Would it be a prince? Would it be a great priest? Would the Lord send his Messiah like a herald angel and just suddenly show up out of nowhere? It wasn't even clear to the people of Judea if the Lord would reestablish the nation first and then Messiah take over, or would the Messiah himself reestablish the nation? But the shepherds are told, as Mary was told, the Messiah is coming to you as a baby. To you this day is born a Savior, the Messiah. Now maybe you have never wondered why it had to be angels that deliver this news. This information, and as they often do, they give instruction to the human beings they're sent to. Pastor David Jeremiah suggests that angels are given the task of messenger because the news they bring is so incredible, so unbelievable. And the news is incredible and unbelievable on two levels. First of all, the news is divine news. It's cosmic, spiritual news. How could anyone believe the cosmic scope of such an announcement, except that it come from God himself through God's messengers? And second, assuming the news is truthfully from God himself, how were these people to believe that the news involved them? It's one thing to believe that there are people who have won the lottery. It's quite another thing to be told and to believe that you have won the lottery. And it would be all the more astounding to discover that you had won the lottery if you'd never bought a ticket. But that is the level of astounding that our God is accomplishing. That's the level of incredible news that God is delivering through God's herald angels. The good news is for you. The good news is through you. The shepherds had never heard anything like that before. They would never have heard it from the Pharisees. And eventually the declaration will be that the good news is actually in you through Jesus Christ, through the same Messiah. The good news is in you. How are we going to believe any of that except that the news comes by God's own messengers? How could the shepherds believe that the good news was for them? They were not expecting God's grace for themselves. They didn't think salvation could be shown to them, but it was. That message had to be delivered by special messenger, an angel, God's own messengers. What does it take for any of us to believe in the greatness of our God, in the greatness of his plan to save us? To believe that God's plan can free us. The shepherds heard it from the angels so that you could hear God's word. For to you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God be praised. Amen.